Father, guide us this morning in your message through your word. Guide my words again if they seem skewed, straighten them out. And Lord, as we give you honor and praise this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You know, this morning is thinking about Memorial Day, and we're going to be in the book of Ruth again. We're going to continue there. But to think about Memorial Day as we gather together, as many families probably will today or tomorrow, there'll be cookouts, there'll be burgers and dogs and games and fun, and for us to really realize and remember, the only way we can have that is because there were people that paid the ultimate sacrifice that we have those freedoms to be able to enjoy that freedom to do that. Jesus Christ paid the ultimate freedom that we can have salvation. And people go into the military knowing they want to serve their country with the thought that they may have to lay down their life for their country. Jesus came to bring us freedom, knowing full well he was going to give his life for our freedom. And so this morning that we remember that, and remember it this weekend, and we don't take that lightly. And this morning as we continue in our study of the book of Ruth, do you remember there was a TV show years ago, and they've made some different remakes of it, and the same premise, and the TV show, I'm going to talk about two of them actually, but the first one is, if you remember the TV show, This Is Your Life. You know, I think the guy's name was Ralph Edwards, was the host of This Is Your Life, and they've done some different offtakes on that, and the whole premise of This Is Your Life was they would have a guest on the show, and it was usually somebody that was somewhat famous, and they would bring in, tell about their experiences and the direction that their life was going, and then they would bring somebody out that happened to be in their life years ago, and they would be reunited with that person. Kind of like today, we have some folks from Plummer that's come here today and seeing different people that have been gone for a bit, and they're here this morning. And the other show is the Extreme Home Makeovers. You know, we're kind of familiar with that show, aren't we? You know, and the whole premise of that show, the host comes out and it tells about a family usually that's kind of fell on some hard times and the challenges they face, and their living conditions aren't really what it should be, so they end up building them a new house, or tear down the old house and build them a new house. And you know, both of them, you know, they're dealing with something. The first one is dealing totally about relationships with other people. The Extreme Home Makeover, not so much. Okay, it's dealing with something like more material. But both of them actually have something in common. And the thing that they have in common is at the very end of the show, like when This Is Your Life, they bring out some person, they get all excited when they move that bus, when the Extreme Home Makeover see that new house they're built. Everybody responds the same way, don't they? They're all excited. You know, they're crying, they're hugging one another. They usually say the same things. You know, oh my gosh. You know, just almost a swear word out of the whole thing. You know, is this really happening? You know, does it get any better than this? If I'm dreaming, I don't want to wake up. Well, thinking about Ruth's life, and we've followed along in this story in the book of Ruth, I think that she was probably going through a lot of the same emotions, the same feelings it would have been felt by her, because we've been with her in her journey. She started off as a widow from Moab. She ended up being a worker in a field. She became this woman. She became this wife in the story. And really, the book of Ruth has been a Cinderella story for us. And our own story isn't really much different if you stop and think about all that you have because you've been redeemed by Jesus. You know, when you stop and think of all the things that Jesus has done for you and he's done for me. And as we come really to the conclusion of the book of Ruth, I want us to ponder this morning on all that Christ has done for us, just as I'm sure Ruth pondered all the things that Boaz did for her. And in thinking through what we've looked at, we were in chapter 3, and Boaz we found them there at the threshing floor, and Boaz tells her to stay there for the night, because he didn't want her out roaming around Bethlehem going home that night, because Bethlehem was an unsafe place to be at night. Boaz wanted to make sure that Ruth was going to be safe. And in the morning, she was going to be going to see, and he was going to go and see about her redemption. And he was going to do that, and he was going to do it one way or another. Now, we're in the night right now. When I think about where we are, this world that we live in, it's not even to be joking about it. The world is not a friendly place. We just found some news that there was a missionary couple in Missouri, from Missouri, got murdered in Haiti by a Haitian gang. We are waiting patiently for our Heavenly Father, our Boaz, to see to the needs of life. He is our Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. Psalm 30, verse 5 tells us, "For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning." Jesus, he will meet all of our needs in life, and you can trust him to finish what he's started in your life. Philippians 1:6, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." There's nothing that's going to come up in life that's ever going to stop the fulfillment of God's plan for you and me. God is, he's never caught off guard. He's never surprised. You're never going to hear or read where God's saying something like, "Well, I didn't expect that. I didn't see that one coming." Ruth, she spent the night at the feet of Boaz just as she had been told to do. And she knew that Boaz is going to do just as he's promised. In Psalm 61, we'll get to Ruth eventually. In Psalm 61, 1 through 4, "Hear my cry, O God, give heed to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings." Now, when I was growing up, we had two dogs the entire time we were growing up. The first one was Princess. Princess had puppies, and we kept one of the puppies, and his name ended up being Wiggles. And I've talked about Wiggles before in another illustration. But Wiggles, and how Wiggles got his name, was every time that it would storm, every time there was thunder or anything like that, Wiggles would be right at your very feet, wiggling. So now we got a dog named Chip. Now every time it storms and there's thunder or there's fireworks, where do we find Chip? Right at our feet, shaking. He's too short to wiggle, Jesus, he is our refuge in all of the storms of life. Psalm 46:1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Psalm 62, verses 7 through 8, if you're still in 61, just turn the page. On God my salvation and my glory rest, the rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us. The entire book of Psalms, it's been referred to really as a tear-stained book. We find all throughout this that hurting people turn to the book of Psalms. They turn there for strength. And when here out west, we don't have many, what I would say, thunder and lightning storms. You know, occasionally there'll be a nice roller that comes in, and it just kind of takes us back to the Midwest. The lightning will strike, and it's kind of pretty random around here. In fact, you know, I've seen where lightning will strike, and it didn't seem to be there any storms in the area. It just kind of, we don't know where they're going to hit. When you think about life, it can be one gut punch after another, can it? You know, could be illness, there could be a death in the family, there could be a loss of a job. You could be battling over some sin that you just, I just cannot get a handle on that. You know, it's the thunder and the lightning of life that comes in. But there's no better place to be than to be near the feet of Jesus. You know, so until he comes, until Christ comes, I think it's coming soon, until he comes, we're to just mark ourselves off a place at his feet and determine in your heart that you'll not be moved by anything that life throws at you at the feet of Jesus. Ruth chapter 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went in to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. You know, this, it truly is a glorious time for Boaz. You know, he has seen his plans completed when Ruth was redeemed and when she became his bride. He paid the price for her. Why? Because he loved her. You know, the word took, it really means to carry away. We have a tradition. You know, you get married and you pick up that bride and you carry her across the threshold of your house. You know, and what a great picture that is for us. What our Heavenly Lord is going to do when he returns for his bride, when he returns for the church, when he returns for you and me. Let's see what 1 Corinthians says about this. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 and 52. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. And if you go just a little bit farther to the right in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. And get this verse. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. He will carry us away to be with him, and we will be with him. For how long? Forever. His plan, God's plan, will be completed when his bride is safe with him in glory. Now, if you're saved, you're going home. You know, and on that day, he will receive all the praise. He is worthy of all praise. You know, and back to Ruth, our conclusion of Ruth is, it was a time really of grace for Ruth. And when I say grace is that unmerited favor. It was a time of that for Ruth. In spite of her past, Ruth is accepted in Boaz. Do you know who Boaz's mother was? Rahab. And if you're kind of familiar with scripture about Rahab, I think that's probably what made Boaz pretty sensitive to Ruth. When she was redeemed, a legal transaction took place. Years ago, and I don't know, I think there's kind of been a little bit of a resurgence of this, but I know in the Midwest, maybe some of you know about this, is you would take your baby shoes, your shoes that you have your baby's first shoes, and you would have them bronzed. How many are familiar with that? Bronze baby shoes, yeah. And so in growing up, I remember pulling out and going, whose shoes are these? And it'd be, there's five of us, and we'd have these bronze baby shoes. And so the parents would get these bronze baby shoes, and they would keep them. They kept that shoe. And so when that near kinsman, and we talked about him last week, took off his shoe as a sign that Boaz could redeem Ruth, Boaz took that shoe. And he took that shoe and he kept it. Because that's evidence that he was the redeemer, that Ruth had been forever redeemed of her past. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, we're told, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace." In Christ, we're forever redeemed. We don't have a shoe to prove that we belong to Jesus, but we've got something that's better than that shoe. We have the Lord himself. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he intercedes on our behalf. He's our advocate in heaven. He bears the marks of the cross. You know, the only man-made things I believe we're going to find in heaven are going to be those scars on Jesus. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." In spite of what we were, and in spite of what we still are at times, we're going to stand in heavenly places by his grace. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, and it tells us there, "And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." If you're saved, you're already there this morning. Let's go back to Ruth. Verse 14. "Then the women said to Naomi, 'Blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today, and may his name become famous in Israel.'" You know, the women, they say to Naomi, "Blessed is the Lord." God is the one that received the praise. He receives the praise for the whole transaction that took place. And if you think about it there, Ruth there, she's barren for 10 years, and now she conceives. You know, God allows a barren woman to conceive. But then think about this for a moment. How about a fertile woman being barren? God is the one who's established the plan that brought Ruth and Boaz together. He's in charge of all of it. And he's exalted for it. Verse 15, "May he also be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you is better to you than seven sons has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap and became his nurse. The neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." So they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. To Perez was born Hezron, and to Hezron was born Ram, and to Ram, Abinadab, and to Amminadab was born Nashon, and Nashon, Salmon, and to Salmon was born Boaz, and to Boaz, Obed. And Obed was born Jesse, and to Jesse, David. So the child that Ruth and Boaz had together, he was named Obed, Well, Obed means worshiper. You know, redemption gave Ruth a legal standing. And this child, Obed, gave her a connection, and it gave her a connection with the royal family. Obed was King David's grandfather. And that what that would have done was made Ruth David's great-grandmother. And better than that, we find Ruth here. She's named in the very first chapter of Matthew as one of the ancestors of Jesus. And so this little boy changed everything for Ruth and Naomi. And in verse 15 it says there, may he also be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age. You know, knowing that the son was a blessing, and he is a blessing to all. You know, genuine worship will always erupt out of a personal relationship with the Son of God. You know, how oftentimes when you see someone that comes to a personal saving relationship in God, and they just want to worship, they want to give praise to God for what he's done for them. When you know him, you know the one that is the restorer of life. Life now, life eternal. And if you know him, you should rejoice in him. If you don't know him, well, then you need to know that you can. And to know him, it changes everything. You know, 1 John 5:12, he who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son does not have the life. We truly live in a sin-stained world. You know, you ever see those detective shows? You know, they'll go into a room and they'll flip on those UV black lights and they're showing all the disgusting things, and we think about, well, if I had one of those and if I visit a motel room, it'd be like, ooh. You know, it just shows all the stains. Well, our world is so sin-stained, we don't need a black light to see it. It is that sin stain that we live in. Do you ever just look at people? Do you ever just watch people? Do you ever go to a mall and just sit at the bench there in the middle while the wife is inside some store that you didn't want to go in, guys? And so you sit on the bench and you just watch people. And you wonder about them at times. You're looking at them. Do their lives look aimless? Do their lives look like it's without hope, without God? What's going on with them? You know what? They need a kinsman. Do you ever think how tragic it is to see people that celebrate Christmas or they celebrate Easter or anything that has to do with Christ without knowing that he is their kinsman redeemer? Without having received him as their kinsman redeemer. Do you need to get at the feet of Jesus this morning? Is it that? Whatever you need, it'll be met by coming to him and trusting him to do the amazing things in your life and life eternal, all through Jesus. So I encourage you this Memorial Day Sunday. You know, remember those that have paid the ultimate price. So we have the freedom to be here this morning, to have the freedom to enjoy one another's company without being afraid. You know, thank you for those that have paid the ultimate price. Thank you, Jesus, for paying the ultimate price for my sin, for giving me not only freedom now, but freedom eternal in him. And may we not forget that. Father, we do give you the praise and glory this morning. I thank you for all that have come out this morning to give you that praise and glory, Lord. And I lift them up to you. Father, if there's one person in this room today that doesn't know you as that kinsman redeemer, that savior, that restorer, the one that paid the price for their sin on the cross, Lord, I pray right now that they just stop and they place their trust in you. And Father, everything will change for them forever. Father, we thank you that things have, for those of us who do have placed their, that have placed their trust in you, that we know that you have changed everything in our lives, life eternal, forever. And we give you that praise this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. Amen.